Blog Talk Radio.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping. We want to visit our friends over in Chicago. Sister Albertina Walker, Inez Andrews, the Baron Sisters, Clay Evans, and Father Hayes and the Cosmopolitan Church of Prayer.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and we want to welcome you to the DK Bible Breaks. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. I am the host, Derek Oliver, along with my lovely wife, Miss Kay. We're live on www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or on our phone lines at 845-277-9094. We just want to say good evening to you and welcome to another edition of DNK Bible Break. First and foremost, both me and my wife want to give honor to the Lord, who's the head of our lives, asking him if there's anything in us that's not right, to forgive us, knowing and unknowing things, and just give us the strength and the knowledge to rightly divide your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. I'm going to open up and say, hey, we want to thank you. And I'm going to turn, see if my wife has anything she wants to open up with by saying hello.
Good evening and happy Monday. Just happy to be here. And that's it. Thank you, Lord, for this day.
Okay. Next. We're going to, before we get into the show, we just want to send a huge shout out for all those that were baptized on yesterday. I'm still in numb about the whole thing. I had an opportunity to get in the pool, not only with my wife, but also with my two sons, and I was able to baptize them. For everyone that were baptized, all of the candidates, it was just a blessing. It was a blessing. All of yesterday was a blessing. Want to give honor and a big shout out to our Bishop, Bishop Omar Zachary, Praise Tabernacle Church, just for being awesome on yesterday. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But I just want to send a shout out there, all those that were baptized on yesterday. And we will, I will piggyback off of what happened yesterday.
Amen.
And with that being said, I'm going to turn. I'm going to let my wife take over. Go ahead.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank y'all for joining us on tonight. You could have been anywhere else, so we do thank you for tuning in, and we do appreciate y'all. Tonight, we're going to be talking about shifting your gaze. So my husband spoke about a shift on yesterday with the woman with the issue of blood. Today I wanted to just go and add to that, talking about shift your gaze. So I looked at the definition of shift just to make sure that I was pointing it in the right direction. And the verb for the word shift is move or cause to move from one place to another. And normally that's like a depending on distance when you're talking about a shift. The noun for that is a slight change in position, direction, or tendency. So today we're going to be talking about shift your gaze. Psalms 121 says, look to the hills from which your help cometh. So we all as believers know that our help cometh from the Lord. You have to look to the hills. You have to shift your gaze to look to the Lord, not to be distracted by anything else that's going on, but shift your gaze to look at him. And I was looking at the word gaze. Now, there's a difference. You can gaze at something and you can glance at something. So to gaze at something is like you're gazing at it. It's like a steady, constant, intent look, like a stare, if I can say that word. It's like a stare. It's a concentrated look. So when you gaze, you're concentrating. It's not like, you know, when you just do a glance where it's a brief or, you know, maybe even a hurried look or just a peek. That's a glance. So we don't want you to peek or glance or do anything that's going to be, you know, quick and brief. We want you to gaze. Shift your gaze. Shift your focus. You know, in this life, nothing stays the same. Every day we grow a little bit older, and that's by God's grace. In some areas of our lives, we welcome change. In other areas, it's a struggle. So I was talking to my oldest daughter on this morning, and she called me, and she was crying. She was crying because her job put her on maternity leave forcefully. It's like they like, no, you don't need to come back in here. You need to start your maternity leave now. She can barely sit down at work. She can barely stand up at work. She's due in 2 weeks. Now, she gave her job the notice that she wanted to do her maternity leave on the day after her due date, which, you know, this is her first pregnancy, so she don't know what she's doing. I said, you don't give them the due date after the date, your maternity date after the date that you're due. So they made her go on maternity leave today. So she was so upset. On one hand, you know, she's overjoyed about becoming a mom, and she just can't wait for her first child to be born. On the other hand, she feels like the baby is making her lazy and tired, and she don't know how to adjust to that. Now, as a mother who's done this before, I've done this a number of times, and I tried to give her some advice on what she should do, you know, and what she should be focusing on right now, you know, since the baby is due pretty much at any time, you know, and one of those things included her not to be driving all over the place. And her comeback to me was, I'm just going to go home and work at my second job today. I'm just going to pick up some more hours at my second job. And when I was thinking about that, I said, you know what, a lot of the times what we do, the Lord will put us in situations where he's trying to get our attention and he's preparing us for what's to come, but we're so focused on doing things our way. You know, a lot of the times along the way, people will offer you advice. You may even hear a message that somebody preached or, you know, you're on YouTube and you hear a sermon, or maybe even be a song, you know, that you hear. And in that, it could be the Lord trying to get your attention, trying to shift your gaze, or he's telling you that something is about to change. A lot of the times when it comes to us shifting, a lot of the things, we start to feel uncomfortable. Like with her pregnancy, she's uncomfortable right now. You know, we get restless. A lot of times it could be some doors closing that we're not welcoming ourselves, but we see doors closing. We may be in some pain, like physical pain. And with that, those are some things that can tell you, okay, a shift is coming. Something is changing. Maybe that job, you're like, I'm not feeling it anymore. And the Lord is trying to get you to go in a different direction, maybe to start another business or venture out on your own. But it's uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. So my focus and my goal to tell my daughter is just focus on what's going on right now. You have to learn how to shift your gaze and shift what the season is trying to tell you. We go through things, and just even like right now, you know, coming up, the fall is about to start. So that's going to be a shift in the season. And we go through different seasons in our life, and we should welcome seasons, even though at times it may be a painful thing that you're going through. You may not understand what you're going through. You may not like what you're going through. But in the end, you have to trust that God knows what he is doing. So you have to trust the Lord. And shift your gaze. Focus on what he's trying to tell you, whether it's reading your Bible, praying, fasting, all of that. Those are ways that you can shift your focus. And like you mentioned earlier about the baptism, you know, we witnessed something that was so beautiful, so life-changing, so historical on yesterday. You know, families being baptized. You know, that's something that was just so amazing to me. And I'm in the pool and I'm just like, do y'all grasp how amazing this is? Just to see families just going and being baptized together, that's a blessing. You know, the steps that we took yesterday and this season is preparing us for the next season. So a lot of the candidates that did get baptized on yesterday, for this season, it's preparing them for the next season. And I just love what took place on yesterday. So it's all about how you approach situations and how you look at situations. And, you know, just like everything else in life, seasons change, life will change too. But you got to allow God to prepare you for the shift. Allow him to prepare you for the shift. So, and shift your gaze on him. Husband, did you want to add anything?
One of the things that was going through my mind when you were talking about a shift is, you know, and you were saying it was hard for Bree to shift. You know, everybody don't know how to drive a stick. And when you think about shift and you read the directions or the meaning of shift, when you drive a car and you drive a stick, I know how to drive a stick, you have to shift every so often. Now, if you don't know how to drive a stick, you don't know how to shift. And you can burn your clutch out. You can tear your transmission up. You can tear your engine up. If you shift too soon, too late, it will mess up the engine of your car. And as we're talking about a shift and you're talking about a daily shift, if you don't know how to shift, you can mess up what God is trying to prepare for you because you don't know how to make the adjustments to the shift. And a lot of times, you know, we want to shift when we want to, but when you're shifting, you there's a certain rhythm you get. And a lot of times with a shift, you got to hear what God is telling you to do. And not even so much what God is telling you to do, but sometimes it's set up for, is like you're talking about the season. We're going from a car to the season. You know that you can't wear summer clothes in the winter because the seasons has changed. You have to shift. You have to adapt. And I'm just grateful and that even though your daughter and people who have a hard time shifting, sometimes it comes just with the nature of it. So once you start learning how to shift the car, the first time you may jerk it, it may stall out. But pretty soon it becomes very easier the more and more you try to do it. And this is her first baby. And a lot of people, this could be their first actual shift. And it may be a little rocky, but after you do it so many times, it becomes natural. And I never forget when I learned how to drive a stick, me and my brother was in the car, and my father, we would have to keep stopping. Cell phones wasn't back then, so we would have to call, and he would tell us, and my father was blind. He actually taught us on the phone how to shift the gear. It was funny because it was a long ride home in the car, because we had got my brother had just got a brand new car, and it was a stick, because he always wanted to learn how to drive it, and we had to do on lessons, on the job training on how to shift it. And the first couple of times, car stalled, it, you know, but after a period of time, and after about good 10, 20 minutes, going from first gear to second gear was very easy. Now getting it to third gear, to fourth gear, to fifth gear, keep going. The faster you go, you got to shift. So that's sort of like what life as a Christian is. You start out, you have to shift from first gear to second gear to third, and it's an adjustment. And even though it may be hard in the beginning, as more you do it, you will adjust to the shift. And as Christians, we have to learn to adjust by listening to the Word of God, doing what the Word of God tells us to do. And one of the things I wish we could have done yesterday was, and I'm still numb by the whole situation of the baptism and the families. And it wasn't just me baptizing my two sons. It was just a great feeling because they're not teenagers, they're grown men. And to see them make the confession that I'm saved, letting everybody know that they're saved, going down in the water, knowing that they're going to have to shift during the situations that they're going through. Also in the water with us, we had Minister Tobert, who had baptized all his young kids. And when you say what a little kids and baptize, when they go back and look, because now, you know, everything's on Facebook and Instagram and all of that, and what they call in the clouds, when they see that they were in the water with their father and what he represents, that's going to have a meaning. It may not mean nothing today or tomorrow, but years down the line, they were in the water with their father. And you can take that literally two ways. And their physical father and their spiritual father and what it represents the family. And then as men, to be in there with their kids, sons and daughters, it's just a thing. The bishop was in the water with his oldest daughter.
Yeah,
We had a father and a son. And then you also had a husband and a wife, a mother and a daughter.
And a mother and a mother. Yes, beautiful.
So when you think about it, and the way that it was set up, started, and planned, it was only supposed to be 6 people. It ended up being, I think, 18 people. And the thing about it was we was not in a church. We was in the public, in the community doing it, where we had people that was on the staff videoing it. And one of the things that I've heard was this is what we needed. This isn't coming from no one from the church. This is coming from the staff that was there. And for anyone that don't know behind the scenes what was going on, my wife will tell you I struggled with putting this together. We was allowed to do it. We wasn't allowed to do it. There were so many stipulations to what was supposed to happen.
The devil did not want it to happen, for sure.
He really didn't. He really didn't.
God,
and the
glory.
Thing about it was there was a lot of shifting going on during the service, and people don't even know it. And I it's not even necessary to go into it, but I learned something. And as we were leaving out yesterday, the conclusion, everybody's gone. Me and the bishop was there, and we were talking to the staff. And there was 2 people on the staff that were so, how can I put it? Had we complained about them not having it set up at the very beginning, had we had got very ugly, which I was very tempted to do, so I thank my wife for keeping me under control, at the very end, we wouldn't have been able to minister to 2 souls and lay the foundation in the community.
Amen.
Second hotel, second group of people, different times, but the same ministry. Ministry in the community. And that's the blessing of everything that happened on yesterday. And when we're talking about a shift as believers, we're shifting on a daily basis. And in order to know how to shift, you have to be in tune with the Word of God. And you have to be in tune with the Spirit, because sometimes someone will come up to you and tell you something. It will prepare you for a shift. I was so, and this is one of the things, I don't want to get off of it, but we were in the restroom changing to go into the hotel, back into where we were having the sanctuary at. And I heard a testimony. Brother Robert was testifying to me. And to me, you know, there's a lot of great things that happened yesterday, but his testimony, I never heard it before. And I was in awe, and I'm like, wow. And then when you hear it, And then you know that he got baptized, and his son got baptized, and his mom was there, dad was there,
Thank
and it was
Lord.
Here to
Amen.
Store. It sends you into a shift of, wow, it made everything more meaningful. And I'm quite sure there was other testimonies that probably will and should be heard, because it was just a beautiful, uplifting, and I know God was well pleased with Praise Tabernacle yesterday. And again,
Amen.
To be in the water with Minister Tolbert, Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela, and my wife, and to be in there to feel that, it was just, it was one of the, I'm going to say it was something that I'll never forget. And again, my mother was there to witness in it and to see how Praise Tabernacle family really are. And to see the smiles. If you watch the video, and I did post it. If you go to Praise Tabernacle, you see the video. Whoever did the video did an outstanding job with the video, because you capture real moments, and it's just an amazing thing. So if you go to Praise Tabernacle Facebook page, you will see the video with the music and everyone getting in the water, and majority of everyone being baptized. It's just a beautiful thing. But I want you to see the faces. Just look at the faces and the smile, and even some tears, and it will make you cry. If you don't cry, it will make you want to cry. It already did me. And again, I just want to be thankful for all of the candidates that was in there, that you know, and for the people at the hotel, the staff. You know, I can't say enough about how we were treated and what we learned from that experience. And, you know, I'm happy. I couldn't really remember what I preached about or what I was talking about. All I know, we was talking about a shift. And, you know, on a personal note, with my boys, I can tell the difference already, and how they're coming and how they're talking and how they're getting ready to make plans for their next season. And I can just sit back. That's why I said yesterday, I ain't got nothing else to prove. And a lot of times you turn your kids over to the Lord, you just let them go. And there's going to come a certain time where it's going to click. And, you know, that's where I'm at right now, you know. And for those that's not there, I'm telling you, it will happen. Just keep praying and doing what you're doing. I know it may seem like it's a hopeless cause, but what we talked about yesterday with every time Jesus shows up, there's a shift. So just take hold on to that. And just remember, the woman at the well, she was there. The woman who had the issue of blood had it for 12 years. It was a struggle. You know, you just keep thinking positive. You just keep thinking, you know, and then when you think, God will give you a vision. And sometimes it may take a little longer. Sometimes it may not take that long at all. But he will shift the situation for your good. And, you know, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Again, I want to send a shout-out to everyone at Praise Tabernacle, those that were there and those that couldn't be there, because it was an awesome day.
Amen. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I want to give some examples of shifts in the Bible. So Jesus taking on the form of flesh, coming to earth for the 33 years that he did, you can find that in John 1 and 14. That was a shift. That was an example of a shift. Another example, David, from a shepherd to a king. Now, with David, let me give you the scripture for that. It's 1 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 13. Again, that's 1 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 13. Now, David's shift, it took some years for it to happen. his shift wasn't an overnight year. A lot of times we go through shifts and we feel like, okay, when is this going to change, or this keeps changing, or this keeps happening. Sometimes there's a process that we need to go through in order for us to get to where the Lord has us to go. Now, there is also Saul, the conversion of Saul to Paul, you know, persecutor to a preacher. Now, his shift was almost immediately. It was an almost immediate change. So, and you can learn more about Saul's conversion to Paul in Acts 9, 1 through 30 for that. So that's Acts 9, verses 1 through 30, to learn a little bit more about Paul's conversion. And, you know, anything is possible with God. It can take a process, or it can be just that quick. He's the one that's in control of when things happen. And a lot of times, I believe that he's waiting on us, and sometimes we can make the process a drawn out when something that could have been way faster, but we let it be drawn out because we're bucking the shift. We don't want the change, or, you know, it doesn't feel good. We don't recognize the change, or it may be a point where it's like, okay, do we really want to do this? It felt more comfortable when we were doing something else. Maybe we don't want to give up some things that we enjoy, so it was more comfortable. And a lot of times we're more content, you know, so we just have to let the Lord do what he needs to do. One of my favorite shifts in the Bible is the story of Joseph. And Joseph, he went from being a prisoner to a prime minister. And you can read the full story of Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50. And what I love about this story is, you know, Joseph got in trouble because of his dream with his brothers. That got him in trouble. That's how it started, with, you know, his brothers selling him into slavery and all of that. It was his dream about them bowing down to him. And those dreams led him to be chosen by Pharaoh to save the world, because he was able to interpret the dreams for Pharaoh. So it's like the same thing that got him in trouble was the thing that propelled him to where God wanted him to be. But the thing is, Joseph stayed connected to the source. He stayed connected to God. He didn't allow all the things. He could have been like, woe is me, my family, just me. You know, he could have did anything and felt some type of way about the situation. But he kept trusting God. And like Joseph, God is with us, regardless of what we go through, what we feel, or he's there no matter what. Our situations change, our circumstances change. As long as we focus on God and he has us to do, we will succeed. So when you feel like something is happening, and maybe it's a shift that you recognize, or maybe you don't recognize it, but you feel like something is changing in the atmosphere, trust God. Make sure it's God.
Hey, wife. Hey, wife, can you hear me? Okay, we lost Kay. Either we lost Kay or she lost me. Okay, well, we can't hear you. The motherboard, the ship, the engineer, you faded out. Okay, can you hear me now? Either you're fading out, but from what I'm being told and from my screen, it's you, it's not us.
Okay, well,
okay, now
okay.
You got
I can
back
hear you.
Now. You can hear me? Okay.
I heard
okay,
you the
well,
whole
we
time.
Lost Well, we lost you.
Okay.
We lost you.
Well, I don't know where I was, but I was talking about Joseph and his dream and how you know, just trust God. Trust God. So I guess I'm going in and out. I apologize.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now, though?
We hear you good now, so go ahead and finish.
Did you hear anything I said about Joseph in his dream?
We heard about Joseph in his dream, and it was your favorite, and then you was going in and out. I heard bits and pieces of it. Go ahead and finish it.
Let me reiterate what I was saying. So if I'm repeating it, I apologize. But I was saying how, you know, the story of Joseph is one of my favorites because, you know, he was sold out by his brothers and for the dream that he had about them bowing down to him, and then how that same that he had with dreams, the only person that was interpreted for Pharaoh. So God used him for that, and he was chosen by Pharaoh to save the world because of the same thing that got him in trouble with his brothers in the beginning. So just read Genesis 37 through 50. Joseph is, to me, is a great story about perseverance and how he trusted. He saw it like he was lied on. It was just so much stuff that happened to him, and he never wavered. He never shifted his gaze from the Lord. He stayed focused, and in the end, it turned out well for him and his brothers and his father. So if you trust God in the end, regardless of all the hell that you go through, God is there. I said, and I gave a scripture, Hebrews 13 and 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not going to change. We're the ones that do the changing. We're the ones that have a choice to make every day that we wake up. So if you want to continue to grow and be successful in the Lord, continue to do what he's telling you to do and keep your eyes focused on what he's telling you to do. He's the source of everything. And like I said, Joseph stayed connected to the source. So trust God no matter what. That's all I got to say. Go ahead, husband.
You're fine. Another thing about a great shift, and again, I don't know, you know, I'm not a prophet or anything like that, but there was a shift, and you hear me saying about the baptism, and it was a shift because of, you got to understand where we were at, you got to understand each and everybody's individual stories. That's why it was a joyous occasion. But even though it was so much a great day and everything, the shift could have went a different way. And that's what I mean. Sometimes if you don't know how to drive a stick, you can't go from first gear to fifth gear or you're going to mess something up. And the same thing spiritually. You can't go from first gear to fifth gear. You're going to mess something up. You will shift, and you're going to tear your clutch. And it's very important for us as Christians and believers to understand that, and I got this yesterday, a great lesson. We were, again, leaving the hotel. Had I, me, representative of Praise Tabernacle Church, elder, representative of the Oliver family, if I would have lost my cool and went up to the manager and demanded a refund and all this other stuff for things that happened before a lot of people even got there, the people that was there would have looked at me and like, that's not how Christians are supposed to act. I don't want to be a part of that church. But what was so smooth and easy about the transition was they were so comfortable talking to the bishop and myself because we didn't give that crazy look. Even though they were at fault, even though things didn't go the way we paid for them to go, had I acted different. And see, the Lord showed me through the bishop how to handle certain situations. That's why I was right there with him. He did all the talking. Because if I had said something, it could have created the problem worse. The reason I bring that up is because a lot of times in situations, you're going to come across when you do have to shift, but there's going to be a right shift and a wrong shift. And you have to be connected with the word and around the right surroundings in order to make the right shift.
And again, it was a teaching. Even though I'm the preacher, I preach. Some people say I get a good job, but it was a learning tool for me. Now, my wife was next. She's my wife, so she's right there. She knew when she came to the hotel, I was frustrated. And I wanted to go, you know, I wanted to be Derek. I didn't want to be sanctified at the time. So I had to calm myself down. So a lot of times, I'm just giving you, you have to be, you know, I can't remember where the scripture is. I probably shouldn't even say it. But we have to sometimes be slow to speak. And what is it, slow to speak and to listen instead of talking all the time? And that's what I learned about yesterday. And as I was talking to some of the members or the candidates, and you hear their testimony, I didn't even know. And it just, you know, it brings tears when you think about it. So I'm so glad that I was a part of something for my family. August 7th goes down as a great day. It's going to be a changing day for our family, my boys, and even my mother who was there to witness to see it. And even though the flesh of Derek wanted to act up, but I'm so glad I was around people who know how to shift. And if you watch a person shift, it's easy for you to shift. And like I said earlier in the broadcast, when me and my brother learned how to drive a stick, it wasn't we was on the cell phone. We had to stop, call. That's when you had to go to the pay phone, put a quarter in, and I had to call. We had to call like that. How did you, what's going on? He had to teach us. Once you get the first gear, put your foot on the clutch, you shift to second gear. You get a little bit more speed, you put your foot on the clutch, you go to third gear. At the time when you don't know nothing, you think you can go to first gear to fifth gear, but you have to go to each other gear. You can't go from one to five. You got to go to second, to third, to fourth. If you don't, you'll mess your clutch up. So a lot of times we may have arrived in some areas and we think we good, you still got to go from second gear to third gear. You can't go to second to five. You can't do it. You're not experienced enough to do that yet. You can do it, now that I'm thinking about it. You can do it, but you have to be an experienced driver to do that. It's best to take it each gear, shift by shift. That way you don't tear your transmission up. This is what I'm saying is if you shift and you're learning how to shift, do it step by step. So you don't mess yourself up or mess someone else up around you because people are watching you, whether you want to believe it or not. So how you shift is going to determine how they shift. You come at them wrong, they're going to come at you wrong. And sometimes you come at them right, they still going to come at you wrong. And for the last, since July 1st, today is August 8th, it seemed like me and my wife have been shifting every day. And the thing that's so bad is you think you got it and you gotta go from second to fifth and no you hear the engine shifting and making noise. You gotta calm yourself and that's what I've learned. And yeah, I'm getting myself getting ready to rev back up again and get right back out in the community again. But it's gonna be different because I've seen if you just listen to the Lord and watch what happens. Every time we come on Mondays, it's not necessarily to pump you up, but it's life lessons learned that we're sharing with you, that we're hoping and praying that you can learn from us so you don't make the same mistakes we make, or you can learn how we overcame what we've overcome by what's instilled in us in the Word of God. And to move forward, you know, I'm again, thankful for what's transpiring and what's getting ready to transpire because of what we're doing in the community. Another thing, we had a young man that came to the church. Actually, it was two of them. And we wanted to show them love. And I believe we did that. Now, you can complain, well, they don't belong to the church. They're not joined. They're not members. That's not on us. It's not up to us to add or subtract. It's just us. It's up to us to go get them and show them love. And if we keep doing that week after week, month after month, God is going to increase our growth. But we have to go out in the community and do it. Bishop said way back, he wanted us to be a community church. you know, where we're in the community, not just giving food, but also having service, also showing people how we love Christ so maybe they can fall in love with Christ. And that's what we did yesterday, from the praise team to the deacons taking the offering, to the deacons helping, to everything that we did was on display, but it wasn't in a church setting. It was in the community. The baptism wasn't in a church setting. It just wasn't for church people. There were people who don't know Christ who enjoyed the service. And if that don't make you excited, then I don't know what else will, because we were not in our comfortable positions. We had to go out in the community, set up, and do what we had to do. And I'm so grateful. You know, I talked to the pastor, and again, he gave some great advice to me on last night when we were talking. And one of the things, as him being a bit, he could have preached last night. It was standing room only. But again, he gives everyone an opportunity to have their ministry grow. By what happened yesterday, families grew. By what happened yesterday, I know D&K ministry grew. People like, y'all was in the water? Yeah, we was in the water. Just something that simple of a husband and a wife in the water. Someone emailed me about Minister Tolbert baptizing all of his kids, every single one of them. They were so amazed and so touched by that. The husband and wife that went in the water together and got baptized at the exact same time. You know, you get feedback from people. These things, and I didn't even think about it last night. It didn't hit me until I was looking at the emails today, and I was like, I was taking my son back to the airport. We was on the Martyr, and I'm looking at some of this stuff, and I'm like, wow, this really, really touched a lot of people. And it may not, you may not never get to see it. You may never even get to meet them because they're not from Georgia. But people all over saw this, and you just won't imagine how when they see it and then they hear the story, it's amazing. And again, it goes back to the question that was asked a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago or even a year ago. Why aren't other pastors as willing to give other people opportunities to do things? I can't answer that question because I'm not a pastor. But I can't answer the question. But when you are secure in knowing that God is going to do the increase and God is in control of who comes and who goes, it really doesn't matter who preaches, who teaches, who does what. All you got to do is be obedient and listen. And like I said, if you watch that video and you see the smiles, you can feel it. At least I can. Maybe I'm biased, but watch it and you tell me what you see. You tell me what you see. You tell me what you feel. A lot of people. Another one that I was, it just blessed my soul, wife, is Asha and her daughter. They got baptized. If you know the story of them, of her, it makes it that much more amazing that she can go down into the water with her daughter. It's just, it's if you hear the story and you know it. That's why I just feel like, sometimes you grow. Next time we do this, we definitely got to have a testimony service because the people, when I think about it, you know, everyone, you could shout or preach a sermon on everybody that got baptized yesterday and what they've been through and what it meant for them. Again, Brother Robert, his testimony, I was just like, wow. And that was really one of the first times that we actually had a chance to have a man-to-man conversation, and it just so happened to be right after the baptism when he was telling me. And this man, grown man, in tears, his mother and father got to see this. And now he feels the shift. And that was, you know, it just went well together. And again, not just him. I don't want to single no one or leave no one out. I don't want no one saying I was left anybody out or their story is not just as important. But these are the ones off the top of my head that just register to me. And again, you know, the numbing part was my mother was there in her right mind. to see her two grandsons get baptized. And to make it even that much more sentimental is that their other grandmother, that's the August 7th was the day she passed on. And my son made a post, and I just was afterwards, I didn't know about it, that he felt like his grandmother was with him and is proud of him because he did what he did. And so you know, he's dealing with a lot, and his shift looks pretty good from him going back home and the way he was talking. So, you know, I'm definitely proud of that situation. And even my mother, it was hard to see her go yesterday, you know, getting emotional. And you know, it's just one of them things. It's just one of them days. And if I haven't called you or text you back anything, it's not. Don't take it personal. It was just, and even today, it's just an emotional day. And, you know, it's a good day for me just to reflect. And I just don't really, you know, can't really tell you in words or describe how yesterday came full circle for me. And I just remember one thing, and then I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let my wife close this out. I don't have to prove, and this is just for me. It ain't for no, this is just for Derek, prove anything to anybody else ever again. Because what I noticed about yesterday, the family, no matter how rough it was or how tough it was or what we go through day in and day out, the Lord is always going to have the final say-so, and he's always going to get the praise and the glory. And when I saw that yesterday, it's like, you know what, I'm trying to prove this and prove that. I don't have to do that no more. I really don't, because God is going to have the say anyway. And if you trust and believe in him, he will put your family together. He will restore you. He will take you to a different level. And I know it seems like some of us have been going through the same thing year after year after year. My wife gave you some scriptures, and about some people it may take longer for the process, and some it don't take that long. That's up to the Lord. The longer it takes, maybe he's trying to get your attention. But the thing about it is, the longer it may take is building you up a relationship with the Lord. And if he does it quick, it just goes to show you in the Lord's timing. And that's really all I got to say, because I'll keep going on and on about saying the same thing over and over again. And again, I just want to thank everybody, Praise Tabernacle Church, every member that was there, and those that couldn't be there that watched on Facebook. I just want to say thank you, appreciate you, and love you. For those that, for our haters who don't like us and were just looking for stuff to complain about, we praise God for you too. Because you're the one that makes our relationship with the Lord that much better, because we got to talk to the Lord about you. And the more we talk to the Lord, the stronger we get. So we want to thank our haters that had a lot to complain about. We also want to just take time to thank all the people at the hotel for coming, for everyone that came out yesterday. Again, thank you so much for your support, for your love, and everything else. And I'm going to have my wife say something, and I'll close this out, because I know you are multitasking. Oh, I just heard we lost her. Okay, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I got you. Got you now.
Okay. All right. I just want to go back on a couple of things that you mentioned. So the one thing that I wanted to touch on is in regards to, you know, whatever situation happened before service on yesterday. And the thing about that situation is, like, you know, we're a reflection of Christ in all areas, all avenues, all situations of our life. So every time we face a situation, we need to be mindful of how we act or react to a situation, because people are watching. And like you said, if things would have got out of pocket, and it just could have went a different way. And, you know, a lot of the times, because I feel like this was such a major victory on yesterday with everybody that was baptized. So not only were they baptized, let's get this correct, they were all saved. So the pastor wasn't just baptizing people just to be baptized. These is all people that accepted Christ. So these people were saved. We went through the process and everything. So the people were saved. And the beautiful thing is, you know, the enemy was upset. He knew what was going to take place. So, of course, he's going to throw different things here and different things there to, you know, get us off task. But our gaze was on the Lord and what he wanted us to do, accomplish. Well, I didn't really accomplish nothing. I was there, but, you know, I was a willing vessel. So it was all about what his goal was and all the people that were baptized. So I thank God for everybody to, you know, get to that point. In addition to that, I want to also give a shout-out to my bishop, Bishop Omar Zachary. A lot of churches, a lot of pastors or whatever, if you're not a member of their church, they're not baptizing you. And I know that my husband's sons were not members, but my husband and I, we are members. And based off of that, the bishop baptized. And it's like a lot of people, a lot of ministers, they're like, no, they're not members. We're not baptizing them. They don't even go to our church. Or we're not baptizing them. We don't know what kind of life they live. We're not baptizing them. You know, they have this whole list of churchy laws that go under their rules, not about the Lord, but go under their rules for their church. So it would that those all those people may have not been able to baptize. Like the bishop said yesterday, some ministries don't believe in baptizing children. Do you not know, like, the Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go. The foundation is being set. It's like, do you see how many children were baptized on yesterday? Children, they're my heart. And I'm just looking at all these babies, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Like, y'all don't even know. Like, it's just a blessing just to witness that. So I'm so grateful, not only just the children, but the parents and their children, the parents and their children, the husbands and the wives. That's just beautiful. I loved it. And to me, that will stay with me for life because it was beautiful. I also got baptized with my two daughters. And that is something that is like the enemy can't come at you when you do something like that. It's such an awesome opportunity, and it's something that your child will remember. It's something that your spouse will remember, and your children will, you know, they'll remember. Everybody will remember what they did, and it's such a blessing. And like you said, you can go online, and they can look at it because it's going to be on the Internet, so you can go back and look at those things. So that's such a blessing. Just want to give a shout-out to my bishop, my first lady, Pamela Zachary. We appreciate y'all, and just thank y'all for being obedient to the Lord and letting the Lord lead y'all and not these church religion rules. I'm grateful that you seek the Lord for yourself and you do things according to the way the Lord tells you to do it, not so much the way, oh, this is the rule here and this is the rule there. So I'm grateful for you all following the will of the Lord. I'm going to give a shout out to my husband for being obedient to the Lord as well, for even bringing the idea, you know, about his sons wanting to be baptized to get it kickstarted. I'm really grateful for that. And it's like the devil was really trying like all week to cause all kind of hell in every area that he could. But I recognize it, and I'm like, just say, this is nothing but the devil. We're not letting him win because there is a purpose and there is a goal and there is victory in what's going to be taking place. So I thank you, husband, for all that you did on yesterday. I know you're still tired today from running all weekend, all week. So I ask that you all keep him in prayer because I haven't seen him sleep a whole night yet in about a week. So keep him in prayer, keep his health in prayer because he has a lot going on, a lot of things he's not sharing, but he has a lot going on as well. So keep him lifted up in prayer. And that's all I want to say. I'm so grateful for yesterday. I'm just going to say that one more time. PPC, y'all the bomb. So, all right, there you go, husband.
Thank you. Thank you for the comments. And something she said, and again, you know, who you have in your ear. You know, everyone, if you're married, then you'll understand where I'm coming from, because married people do bicker. We do argue. And some of the times, some of the littlest things seem like they're so, at the time, seem like they're so major. And it could be about just putting gas in a car, and it can just blow up. And the devil tried week, day after day after day. And I was thinking about this when you were saying this, and then we're going to close. Can you imagine having all those people there? And if I wasn't talking to my wife, Minister Tober wasn't talking to her, it just seemed like everyone just phony with it. You know what I'm saying? But when you're real
exactly.
and you're transparent about things, it makes – that's why yesterday is so pure. And it can't get by anything because it was pure.
Amen.
It was real and genuine. And not saying that everybody is perfect or anything like that, but it is what it is. And I've already told the bishop, you know, my whole family comes with me. We all members of Praise Tabernacle Church, even though they may be in different states. We all members of Praise Tabernacle Church. He may not talk to them. There's some members he ain't talked to in years anyway. But that's okay. As long as you stay, you're part of the family. And that's what I like about where I'm at. Because I can bring a cousin, another brother in. I can bring somebody in. My sister-in-law was in church yesterday. And we honored her son, who's not a member of the church, but I asked her brothers, let's adopt him. Let's adopt him. That's going to go a long way in his life for a church to put their arms around him. And we don't know what it's going to do, but we planted the seed. And it's not up for us. That's the Lord. He'll deal with the rest of it. We done what we had to do.
Plant the seed. Plant the seed. That's our job, is to plant the seed. That's it.
Right. And that's why, you know, I love where I'm at right now, because we have opportunities and there's so many seeds that need to be planted, but we don't have enough people to pick up the seeds and throw it on the ground. So you know, hopefully in the months that the Lord will send people to pick up some of these seeds and throw them on the ground. And hopefully that when we throw it on the ground, you know, leave it alone. You ain't got to water it. You ain't got to just throw the seed on the ground.
He needs to increase. Amen.
Let the Lord do what it needs to do. But sometimes we want to throw the seed down. We want to dig the soil up, put the seed. We ain't got time for all that. Tomorrow is going to be Tuesday. We got Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Please join us for Bible study on tomorrow. Also on Sundays, Praise Tabernacle Church live at 9 a.m. Praise Tabernacle Church is the Facebook page you can go to on Sunday morning. Also on Wednesdays, we have Vent Break on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. Also on Wednesday night, we have Watchmen on the Wall Wednesday night. Thursday at 7 p.m., we have the Royal Boudouette Family at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Also, we're going to be doing something a little different this week. I have to add another show. I'm going to call it Chaos/D&K on Saturday. My wife probably won't be on. She might not, because it's new. She ain't heard about it, but we have to do another show. And I'm going to have some guests on. We're just going to be talking and uplifting the Lord in a lot of different ways. And so we're going to do something. And we're going to try to do this Facebook Live. We're going to try to do it on Facebook Live on Saturday. You know, our show is growing, and they want more from D&K. And I don't, you know, I got to sit down in a meeting with my wife and figure out what more is and how we can benefit. But we're not trying to stress ourselves out either. But I can sacrifice an hour on Saturday and, you know, have some people on, let them testify about the Lord. We're not going to do nothing but uplift the Lord and maybe, you know, have some church talk. But with that being said, that was the schedule. Again, a shout-out to my bishop, First Lady, First Family, the Zacharies. We love you. We support you. And we got you. Just like you got us, we got you. To every member, all the elders, all the deacons, we just send a shout-out to y'all as well. Thank you for yesterday. It's very, very much appreciative, from Deacon O driving a van, picking up people, to Deacon Lee helping escort the crowd control on yesterday. So it's a blessing. It was a blessing. Thank all of them. And Minister Tober, always a blessing.
working with him, Deacon Belcher. I don't want to forget about him. And if he, I don't know if he listens, but I do got a bone to pick with Deacon Belcher. So I will be getting a hold of you real soon. You said some things about the Falcons and everything. I'll get back to you about that, but I just wanted to bring it up publicly. I need to holler at you for a minute. And with that being said, that's all we got. I just ask that y'all continue to pray for our church family, our church members, for our church members and church family, to pray for just everyone that may be listening to the show. Some we know, some we don't. Just continue to bless them. And that's pretty much all I got to say. And advice, if you're still there, you know, I just want to say this just because it's on my heart. I know she's probably listening, Sister Winsome. We missed her. She had to go back to Florida to take care of her. And yes, we missed you
friend.
At dinner yesterday. Yeah, we
yes.
missed you at dinner. I thought about you during dinner time yesterday because I know if you would have been here, you probably would have rolled right with us. So we
right
dinner,
with
really.
Us.
So we just wanted you to know your presence by not being there was felt. And
yes.
we love you. Hurry up and get back, but take care of your mom. Take your time. I don't mean to hurry, but you know what I mean when I say hurry. We definitely need you back here. So my wife's going to need you, too. She's going to need her buddy back. So with that being said, and everyone pray for time, and I go pray for Sister Winston and her mom as well.
Yeah.
That you just keep her and her mom in prayer, and that situation gets better. And I apologize for not mentioning it yesterday. Had a lot going on, but I got it out today. So definitely keep her in prayer and keep my mother in prayer as well. Just keep her in prayer. And that's all I got for you. Y'all enjoy the rest of your week. And don't forget, tomorrow, 7 p.m., we'll be back on the air with Bible study. Y'all have a blessed night. And remember to pray.
Good night.